All right, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is May 18th, 2004, and we are live. And if you're in New Zealand, it may be May 19th already. Maybe a few other places, too. I don't care. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson standing by, and we're here to talk about creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. God made the world in 6 days, just like he said he did. The evolution theory is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of the world. And if you believe you came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago, we are here to help. Jonathan, I talked to a guy today who said, I said, no, he believed in evolution. I said, do you believe you came from a rock? He said, no. I said, where'd you come from? He said, I came from, you know, a macromolecule or something to that effect. I think the exact words. I said, where did that come from? He said, well, you know, the oceans. Yeah. From the prebiotic soup. You know, before it evolved into life, it was prebiotic, pre-life. I said, okay, and where did that come from? He said, well, you know, it rained on the rocks for millions of years and turned them into the
soup.
Slowly
dawned on him.
So you do believe you came from a rock. Is that correct? He said, well, yeah. No. I said, yeah, that's what you just told me. You do believe you came from a rock. He said, well, not directly. Okay.
Yeah, but when they're presented with this type of stuff, the schools do such an excellent job, and they go to such great lengths to blend it in with actual science and keep the kids kind of with a fuzzy image of what they're really telling them. They're not going to say, you came from a rock. They're going to say, oh, you came from an ape-like ancestor. But if you follow that logically all the way back, just like you said, you know, to the, you know, prebiotic soup, to the rocks, to the rain, they came from rocks with that mentality.
Which is fine if they believe that, but they don't like it put quite that simply, because it shows people how dumb it really is.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hide behind all the big words, and it's a smoke screen, you know?
Yeah.
So we're here to blow the smoke away, folks. If we can help, give us a call. If you want to be on the program live today, 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, and the lovely Diane in Building 2 will answer your phone and transfer you over here, and let us put you on the air if you have a question related to creation, evolution, or dinosaurs. And we're here to help. If you want to just AOL instant message us instead, if you're any place in the world, it should work at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And we'll be glad to take your AOL instant message, which I need to activate by clicking some kind of button here, I understand. Jonathan, my computer's about to die. According to evolution, things get better, you know, but if you don't plug it in, it doesn't work. It's okay. All right. We have a whole stack of questions here to answer. And let me get my other line plugged in here. You got to have that one, too. You would think it would just, you know, kind of automatically work. And a few testimonies to read first. But before we do that, we got some exciting things coming up here. If you want to come visit Dinosaur Adventure Land in Pensacola, Florida, we are having a blast. I had a bunch of kids here today. And you can come join them. We have a science center, museum, and theme park, all based on creation.
And a brand new bathroom. Working on a brand new bathroom. That should relieve some of the pressure around here, I guess.
That'll be a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, our Southeast Creation Conference is coming up. We have some great speakers. If you want to come here, Dr. Jack Cuazzo, who wrote the book Buried Alive, that is excellent, about the Neanderthals and the great hoax that's being taught in our school system. Just flat lying to these kids, telling them, you know, we've got proof for evolution from the Neanderthals. Jack Cuazzo is a dentist, orthopedic surgeon in New Jersey, and has been for 32 years. And he's going to be speaking about his research on the real, original, actual Neanderthal fossils, not the copies the guys over here have seen. Most American scientists have never even seen or touched a real Neanderthal skeleton. They've seen castings of it. Well, Cuazzo, with his x-ray machine, went over there and got and saw the actual real ones, x-rayed them, and said, guys, you got a few problems with this thing, the way it's put together. I'm a dentist, and, you know, the jaw doesn't work when it's 1 inch out of the socket. it's not gonna chew too well. They put the jaw forward 1 inch to make the face look more sloped. I saw a kid at a school I spoke at a couple weeks ago he had exact Neanderthal head. I said, can I get a picture of you to take home for my, he said, sure, you know. Profile, and my camera was out of batteries. He's going to send me one. A profile. I mean, it was perfect. His head slopes way back, his forehead does, you know. And I said, this is the missing link. Here he is sitting right here beside me in the school. He was a senior in the high school. Sharp kid, too. But Neanderthal head. He said, I get called Neanderthal all the time. I said, well, That's a compliment. They had brains 13% bigger than the average human today.
We throw one of the today's pro football players up over a golf post, I guess.
Golf post. Oh, yeah, easy. Yeah, they were incredibly strong. And super smart, apparently. Okay, here we go. A couple of testimonies been sent to us. Anyway, September 7th, I forgot, 17th. We've already got quite a few folks signed up. If you want to sign up, get on the website, drdino.com, and sign up for the Southeast Creation Conference. Dr. Chuck Kawaza will be speaking. Dr. Dennis Swift, Ica Stone expert. Dr. Carl Baugh from Glenrowe, Texas. I talked to him yesterday for a little while. Great guy. He's on TBN every week with his program, Creation in the 21st Century. Has probably the most effective creation ministry on planet Earth. Reaches 5 million viewers every week. Probably the biggest outreach. And there's a lot of different creation ministries, and they argue and differ over little things. But, you know, generally they fall into two camps. Those who think the Earth is billions of years old, but God did it. There's a guy advertises on this program sometimes who believes that. You know, you got to really be cautious about some of the old Earth creationists try to sneak in on the skirts of a young Earth creation program. And then there's those who believe the Earth is 6,000 years old and God made it like I do. And they differ on little things, you know, little minor stuff. But that's okay. They have a right to be wrong. Just so, you know, I'm right, they're wrong. We all know that, right, John?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. With testimonies been sent to us. If you want to AOL instant messages, get a hold of us at Dr. Dino Live, or you can call in 850-479-DINO. Or you can go there to look at our website, drdino.com, and take a look at some of our new materials. We have, is the Bible on double speed? I think it's available. Well, they're almost ready. I listen to the Bible just about every morning on double speed on the record player. It is, sounds like chipmunks a little bit, but once you get used to it, you can read the whole Bible in about 30 hours.
You've also listened to it in triple speed before, haven't you?
Right. Then
yeah.
You do it about 21.
I've tried it. There's no way I can comprehend what they're saying.
Once you get the hang of it, you'd be surprised, especially if it's a passage you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
After you've read the passage, you know, 100 times, all of a sudden it becomes like second nature. And you don't realize it, but you're memorizing large chunks of Scripture without even trying.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having that coming available soon, folks. Maybe available now. I have to check the technical department. But the whole Bible on CD, King James Version, with Alexander Scorby reading, and it's going to be at double speed. Also, we have 8 new debates coming online real soon. I think they're anticipating probably 3 or 4 more days now to finish that project, and you can order debate number 13, 14, 15, etc. through 20. He just watched one today. What did you watch, Jonathan?
I watched your second debate with Dr. Michael Shermer from, he's a columnist for Scientific American. Put quotes around scientific on that. And he's also an editor of Skeptic Magazine. He wrote the book, How to Debate a Creationist, which you thoroughly destroyed basically a long time ago on this program in June, I think, of 2003. And, he did that before he debated you the first time. And I don't think it was as shocking that he wanted to debate you again. And I watched the debate today, and I still think it's shocking that he wanted to debate you again. I don't think he should do that anymore.
Well, I'll be glad to do it. Michael, if you're listening, hey, anytime. You know.
He's an extremely nice guy. He's, you know, completely brilliant, but absolutely wrong.
Right.
So.
He has a couple of pretty amazing records for riding a bicycle from Seattle to San Diego in 9 days or something like that. You know, first place I thought, why would you ride a bike that far? You take a jet there in a couple hours. But, but you know, good athlete, and that's all great. But that doesn't mean you're right on your theology. Okay. Here we go, from B.V., just two initials, B.V. Our family has testimonies, folks, I'm reading. If you want to send yours in, you can. Here, we'd be glad to read them. And B.V. writes, our family first learned about your ministry through our church when your son brought us a seminar in 2001. Hey, my son Eric is sitting over here on the other desk. I don't know if he can hear me or not, but in Selma, California. Eric, you spoke in Selma. Okay. He says, yes, he did. He said, the guy, writer here, BV, says, I never believed in evolution as far as coming from a monkey and cavemen, but I found out that a lot of things I thought were science were actually evolutionist philosophies. My oldest son in particular enjoys your seminars a great deal. A wonderful thing came out of his mouth a couple of weeks ago. Last year, there was a revival meeting at our church, and my son surrendered his life to serve the Lord. I was so joyous for this decision. We have never pushed or discourage this decision in our children, only encourage them to love the Lord and please Him at all times. Then, while on spring break, I gave my son the opportunity to watch the seminars all the way through. About halfway through it, he paused the video and said, Mom, I know what I'm going to serve the Lord in. I'm going to do the same thing as Brother Hovind, but I'm going to do it for our Spanish-speaking people. I encouraged him in that. It is truly a great need for our Spanish-speaking people to know that children are being bombarded by this poison every day, and they don't have a clue due to the language barrier. Now my son is only 10 years old, but God has his plan and his timing, and this will come to pass if it is of God. Thank you for what you're doing, BV. Well, amen. BV, tell your son to call anytime. I'll be glad to take his calls. You can call the office and talk to him. Yeah, you want to read that one, Jonathan?
Yeah, we got a fax today from Mr. Gardner, Dale Gardner. We actually put it up on the website so people can follow along if they like.
It has a frowny face.
It has a very disturbing frowny face. I guess you talked to him today. He seemed to be meek-spirited kind of guy. But
well, people get really brave on the Internet when they're anonymous,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then when they actually talk to you face-to-face in debates, usually they calm down. So
yeah, okay, well, let's go ahead and read his testimony here. It says, first, let me begin by letting you know how this garbage makes me sick. You people are the ignorant ones. You wouldn't know truth if it bit you. There's no way creation theory holds water. Fools, take a look at radiocarbon dating. Fossils that are alone millions of years older than even the idea of your God. God is dead. The idea is dead. Only fools who won't let the past die still believe in this fairy tale. Albeit the Bible is a fun read for crapped out fiction, but heck, I could say that the same for Odyssey or The Raven, all interesting works of fiction. Religion is for the weak-minded who need a higher power to comfort them. Too bad, so sad. I feel sorry for you people. You are weak. I don't even know what else to say except for you are weak. And he goes on to talk a little more about how there's been ancient civilizations and so forth that are older than the concept of Christ. And basically, in summary, he's not happy with what we're doing here.
Well, that's fine, and I'm glad he wrote, okay? And anybody's welcome to write. As far as being weak-minded...
I don't think so.
I don't know about that. I mean, I taught science 15 years. I'll have a contest with anybody on, you know...
Well, the Bible encourages us, you know, is it 2 Peter 3:15? Says study to show us...
2 Timothy,
Second Timothy. The Bible encourages us to learn, to study, you know, to test these spirits and so forth. It's not something you just chuck your brain at the door and then go and accept Christ. It's anything but that. I'd say
now you got me confused. Is it 1 Timothy? I'll have to look it up. First, study to show yourself proved unto God a workman. He needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Second Timothy 3:15 or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
First or Second Timothy. It's in
Timothy. In the Bible.
In the Bible, yeah. Look in the Bible. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, we should study, man. I think, why these guys say, oh, you got to leave your brain at the door to be a Christian? I say, are you nuts? It takes much more faith to believe in evolution. It's absolute common sense to believe somebody created this place. Okay, and if you think, you know, creationists are dumb, well then, hey, call in and schedule a debate. I've had 90 now, and would be glad to take on anybody else, any number of them. I did 3 at a time at Embry-Riddle University. That was fun. Those guys won't do that again. Okay, phone call. Who do we have on there, John?
We've got Dawson on line 1.
Dawson, go ahead. Can't hear you, Dawson. Are we doing something wrong here? Speaker.
Hey, Dawson, you there?
Hello. We're not.
Okay, did you hear us? Okay.
Too many buttons to push here. You know, according to evolution, things work automatically. Dawson on line 1, huh? Or you can just take his question if you can't get him to work through there.
Not there. Are you not? Okay. I guess we're not picking up your audio here.
Okay. Jonathan, you work on the technical problems. I'll read a few more testimonies while you figure out Dawson's question. Looks like he may have it fixed here, folks. It evolved. Well, it took about 15 seconds, too. Usually it takes millions of years for stuff like that to evolve. No, he's still picking up. Okay. Billy Gable writes in. Just wanted to encourage
Hello?
You to continue your labor. Okay, we got him. Okay, Billy, hang in there. We'll get you next. Okay, Dawson, go ahead. Yes, I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay, Dawson, you there?
I'm here.
Yes, I hear you fine. Go ahead, Dawson.
I am here.
Yes, sir. Can you go ahead?
Oh,
this mic. Okay. Yes, Dawson, go ahead. I hear you.
Yeah, Dr. Hovind, I just wanted you to know that, you know, your ministry and your tapes have been a real blessing to my family and my children. And I really appreciate the work.
Well, thank you, sir. We got commercial break coming up. You want to wait a minute? Or?
Sure.
Okay. Hang on about 90 seconds, I believe. Thanks a lot, Dawson. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind. We have Dawson on the phone. Go ahead with your question there, Dawson.
Well, I just wanted to, kind of mention to you that in Ephesians 2:10, it's just right after 2:8 and 9, which are pretty famous scriptures.
Right.
it says that we are God's own handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus.
Right.
That we may do those good works which God predestined for us to do, And, that's really the crux, I think, of what you're doing there, is it just relating to people what God, the Creator, has said about how we got to be here.
Amen. That's what we're trying to do.
We're His creation. And I appreciate the message that your ministry brings, the manner in which it brings it, and I particularly appreciate the way that you deal with the people who scoff and consider themselves to be wise, but you demonstrate a real attitude of love and respect for them, even though they treat you with disrespect. And I think that what makes your ministry so powerful.
Well, good. I appreciate that. Tell others about it.
Well, we do.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dawson.
All right.
All right. If you want to call in, folks, call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466. We'll be glad to put you on the program, or AOL Instant Message us at Dr. Dino Live. Okay, Jonathan, where was I at? I was reading Billy's. Just wanted to encourage you to continue your work, continue your labor, laboring walk of truth. You've done so much for thousands, if not millions, including me. Dr. Hovind, because you spoke out with knowledge and I bought your tape series, I have the wisdom to defend that which I believe in. I read all these websites that criticize you and try to devour you as an individual, but there's at least one person who loves and appreciates what you do. Jonathan, we got a fan. I mean, somebody who likes what we do. At least one fan.
We got one.
Wow.
Awesome.
Man, this is great. Appreciate that, Billy. Because there's about 1,000 anti-Hovind websites out there. And even some of the fellow creationist groups don't appreciate what we do. I mean, oh well. It's their loss. They could be friends, and I'd be glad to be friends with any of them. I don't have anybody I've written off that I know of. So we'll be glad to be friends with any of them if they want. It says, God has used you to strengthen my understanding of who He is and how I fit into His plan. He has used you to help me sharpen my biblical sword and stance as an educator in a liberal high school in Colorado Springs. Well, now, Billy, my aunt and uncle lived in Colorado Springs for years. He was a colonel in the Air Force Academy out there, and I used to go every year, sometimes twice a year, to visit them on Country Club Drive and Austin Bluff on the across the valley from Pikes Peak. So I don't remember their address, but they both died now. And anyway, love Colorado Springs. Beautiful place. You have a bunch of heathen out there, though, that need to be saved. So, Billy, get after them, okay? And use my videos if they'll help. Okay, Billy goes on to say, what you do helps me become a better teacher because I know where I stand as a teacher. As I said, I live in Colorado Springs. I'm planning on attending your seminar in the World Arena. Oh, yeah, I speak out there every year at the huge, beautiful facility called the World Arena. The Stealing the Mind Conference. You can check my itinerary, drdino.com, to get details of when I'm going to be different places. I go every week somewhere. 2 days ago, I was in, where was I at? Chautauqua, Wisconsin. Okay. He says, I look forward to seeing you in person. I doubt I'll meet you personally since there'll be thousands there, but I pray that God would grant me the opportunity to tell you in person what you've meant to me. Thank you so much. May God continue to bless you in Christ, Billy. Well, thank you, Billy. Appreciate that. Let's get a couple more here, and then we'll get on to some questions that have been sent in. Here's one from Carrie Mercer, who writes in, we have just begun homeschooling our children this year after having them in public school. In an effort to help us, a friend gave us lots of VHS tapes with Nature TV, Nature videos and Nova shows, etc. Next in was your Creation Science Seminar, tapes 1 through 7. I haven't completed watching them yet, but I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all you're doing to get the truth out there, for all the different ways in which our government is trying to brainwash and control us through our children. I hadn't thought about all the different aspects of it, but when I have finished with the tapes, I'm giving them to my pastor with the suggestion of using them for a Bible study. Again, thank you, Carrie. Well, amen. Thank you so much, Carrie. I appreciate that. Do spread them around. Tell other people. By the way, folks, the videotapes they're talking about is a seminar that I've done thousands of times on creation evolution. It's called the Creation Science Seminar. It's 17 hours long, using about 6,000 or 7,000 visuals and PowerPoint and video clips and stuff like that. Very well done, I think. Our technical department's done a great job in putting that together. And it covers everything from how to prove the earth is not old, how to talk about dinosaurs living with man, dinosaurs still alive, what the Garden of Eden was like, 3 hours to tape number 4 on lies in the textbook. That's one of my favorite topics to talk about. Okay, Wendy writes in, Wendy, I can't pronounce your last name. U-M-I-N-N. Ummin. Ummin. From Flint. At the Flint University. University of Michigan, Flint, EDU. Wendy? Right. So I would just like to say I absolutely love your videos. I was a Catholic for 19 years. I met my husband, Mark, when then I began to learn more about the Bible. Who would have thought? In all my years as a Catholic, I was never urged to have a relationship with God. Only until I met my husband and his family did I realize this. But even though I was on my way to understanding Christianity, I was still under my dear old dad's science influence, and I argued with every Christian about those facts. I brought up things that you disproved in your video, such as the genetic similarities and others. Genetic similarities, I mean, is the closeness of the genes of a monkey and humans, which is totally debunked. But soon after watching 15 minutes of your videos, I knew I was dead wrong. I tried to show my dad the light. However, he's very set in his uninformed ways. I'm in the process of getting my education degree and hope to enter public schools and try to change education and curriculum. Pray for me in my years to come so I can stand up to the Board of Education and show them how wrong they are. Thank you. Your videos have strengthened my relationship with God, and without them, I would still believe in the dreaded evolution. Thank you so much, Wendy. Well, amen, Wendy. That's awesome. There's a lot of other people just like you were that need information on creation. That's why our stuff is not copyrighted. Help somebody out of the quagmire of evolution. Okay, this one from Tiffany Hebert writes in, I was wondering which set of numbers do you add in the Bible to get the age of the earth? Tiffany, if you read Genesis chapter 5, 6, and 10, and 11, there are numbers scattered throughout the Bible that you have to kind of dig for a few of them. They're all listed on the chart you get if you get my Jonathan, is that timeline up on there on a PDF on the website, the Adam to Joseph timeline?
It's available with the PDF, the new PDF CD that has the seminar notebook.
It's not actually on the website. Maybe we should put that up there then. Adam, can that be a PDF where they can zoom in on it and look at different
facts? Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah,
yes,
let's
sir.
Do that. Make a note for that. So, let's see, who was that? Tiffany. Tiffany, the Bible says Adam was 130 when Seth was born, and Seth was 105 when Enos was born. And you just go through the Bible and pick out the dates, and you're going to get about 4000 B.C. Now, there are three names missing in one of the genealogies, and some have argued that that's sufficient to put millions of years in there, which is dumb. The three names missing are probably missing for some very good reasons. So I don't put an exact date and say it was, 4004 B.C. for the creation, but I think it's probably within a few hundred years of that, and it might even be right that it's 4004 B.C. That date's never been disproven. It's just, who knows. Here we go. So anyway, that's where I get the dates, Tiffany, from reading the Bible. Mario writes in, I'm curious as to whether evolutionists use the stages of tadpole changing into a frog as evidence for evolution. Mario, they will use anything as evidence for evolution. They'll use the fact that a Coke bottle has a white lid. That's proof of something. Anything becomes proof.
Actually, I was talking to Heath about this the other day. I was reading an evolution book, and this was actually used as evidence for evolution. If you were to stand up with a table on your right side, and you kind of just pick up your right foot and scratch the bottom of your right foot with your left hand, you're going to naturally put your hand on the table to hold yourself from falling over.
Yeah.
This evolutionary literature said this is evidence for evolution because monkeys do the same thing.
Wow.
Because
maybe it's
because
they learn that you fall over if you don't support yourself.
Yeah, it's like saying, well, monkeys and humans have similar, similar things. They both have eyes.
Well, yeah, and hair.
Face.
Yeah. And I've seen some professors and monkeys are both true with their mouth open.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Same color hair.
Yeah.
See?
On their back.
Oh, yeah, on their back. Long black hair flowing out from under each nostril. Here we go. Amy writes in. Amy, how on earth do you pronounce your last name? M-A-C-E-A-C-H-E-R-N. Mackeychern. Mackeychern. Wow. And I took phonics. Amy writes, hello, I'm 21 years old, and for 20 years I believed in evolution only because it was the only theory backed up by science. I was introduced to your seminar videos only a few months ago, and it's safe to say that it was a life-changing experience. I'm so happy to see that science is also used to back up creation as well. Anyway, I've been trying to spread the word of these scientific facts and trying to lead people to God, but I find with almost every person I speak that he or she will say something along the lines of, how can you believe in a religion that has killed so many people throughout history? In all honesty, I have no idea what they're talking about, so I'm asking you to help me out. What do you think, Amy? Amy, I think they're probably referring to the Catholics that have killed a lot of people through history. There may have been a few, you know, Bible-believing Christians that did that also, but it wasn't because God told them to. The Catholic Church has a long, bloody history of martyring, you know, the real servants of God.
You can look at what Christianity teaches, and it teaches love to these people. And now, regardless what people do in the name of Christianity, that doesn't mean Christianity is bad.
Right.
It's just like, you know, evolution is all about death. Christianity is not. So evolution is all about death, and it's also been used to justify the murder of millions of Jews and, you know, just Karl Popper and just tons of different people doing such horrific things in the name of evolution.
Yeah,
because evolution
does
teach evolution or death. So.
So the fact that some Christians have done bad things doesn't mean Christianity teaches to do those things.
Yeah, it's people say, you know, they'll look at, you know, Muslims. They'll say, well, how come these Muslims are flying planes and buildings for God? You know, that shows that your God is bad. And
that's
it's saying, you know, it's just, well, first of all, it's showing that they got some kind of, you know, loose screw up here. Has nothing to do with my God, first place. You know, they got some other Allah or whatever.
Right.
Even if a Christian does something bad, that still doesn't, you know, mean God is bad. It means that person's got a, you know, a screw loose up in the head.
Well, King David, the Bible accurately records that King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband killed, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible tells the true story.
Yeah.
It doesn't say God told him to do it or approved of it.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Yeah. So, no, I wouldn't, let's see, what was that question here? When people say Christianity has killed a lot of people through history, I would say, oh, you're probably talking about Catholicism that has killed a lot of people. I would be a far cry from a Catholic. I guess I would lump Christians who name the name of Christ into four basic categories. I guess I'm a lumper. I was trying to put things in groups so I can understand them better. There are the Bible-believing Christians that started with Christ and his disciples. Then about 300 years later, there was the Catholic Church that started under Constantine. So if you're drawing parallel lines, you have the Bible believers, you know, starting from Christ, going all the way up to the right, up to today. Then about 300 A.D., you would branch off, and those who were started with Constantine, 318 A.D., would be the Catholics. Then about 1500, you had a branch off of the Catholic Church called the Protestants. That would include Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, quite a few Protestant churches. I am not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. The Protestants protested against the Catholic Church, came out of the Catholic Church. The Baptists would claim, oh, they're the original group that never had to come out. They were through all of that. And then about 150 years ago, another branch came out called the cults, which would include Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, others who teach various false doctrine. They would be another branch off of this. So the four basic types, probably most Christians could be put into one of those Christian churches, those who name the name of Christ, could be put into one of those four. The Baptist, the Bible believers, the original Bible believers, the Catholics, the Protestants, and the cults. And in the end times, I think most of the others are going to go back to the Catholic Church. You're going to have one world religion. I'm losing all volume there, John. Is it coming out okay? There we go. Okay, here we go from Mick, M-I-K, last name Va, V-A. Now, there's an interesting name. Mick writes in, does the Bible teach the universe rotates around the earth or vice versa? Does the Bible teaching contradict science on this subject? No, Mick, the Bible doesn't say much about it other than says the sun stood still. And some have interpreted that to mean, oh, well, see, you know, the sun must go around the earth. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the sun stood still. If a policeman pulls you over and gives you a ticket and says, hey, you're going 70 miles an hour, and you say, oh, no, officer, I'm at, you know, 34 degrees north latitude, and I'm headed east, and the earth is going 816 miles an hour at this latitude, so actually I'm going, you know, blah, blah, blah. Look, it doesn't matter. To the earthbound observer, to the officer, you're going 70 miles an hour. All that matters is the earthbound officer's observation and position. You could also say the sun goes around the earth at 66,000 miles an hour, but that doesn't matter as far as getting your speeding ticket, because to the earthbound observer, that's the velocity. And so if all observers are here on earth, then the sun stood still. If you're out in space looking at it, in a hypothetical position in space looking at it, you would say, oh, the earth stopped turning, but there is nobody out in space looking at it. So the sun stood still.
Even our scientist on TV today will say, the sun will rise at 5:30 tomorrow. And
yeah, are they lying?
Yeah, if you want to get that technical, then call those scientists liars.
Sure. Yeah, to an earthbound observer, that's the way it is. Okay, here's one from the United Kingdom. Kirsty, K-I-R-S-T-Y. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. I got an AOL instant message here from Flam Cheesy. Now, there's a name.
Lam Cheesy. Sounds like your name of Mayor Shallow Hashbaz or whatever it was. You know, you had Alibaba something. What's that again, John?
It's Ali Abonin and Gucci Alidala.
Do you have to type that every time?
No, actually, I've got it saved on there. I don't think I could type it every time.
Okay. Is that what you still go by?
No, I don't go by that anymore. No.
Okay. Lam Cheesy writes, I have a question. Does the red and blue shift actually occur? Yes, I'll give that a qualified. Yes, it occurs, but nobody knows for sure what's causing it. One theory is that it's caused by the Doppler effect, which may be true, I don't know. You know, if you hear a train go by and you're standing still, the train whistle changes pitch as it passes you. It goes, because of the Doppler effect. And who cares, right? Well, the theory is that if the star is moving away, the light will be shifted toward the red. If the star is moving toward us, it'll be shifted toward the blue. We do observe a red shift with quite a few stars. Some have interpreted that to mean the stars are moving away, and therefore they used to be in one place, and therefore there was a big bang. That's quite a stretch, I think, Flancheesi, from the actual data. The data says some stars have a red shift. End of data. Everything else from there on is interpretation of data. And I cover in video number 7, which you can download off the website, drdano.com, some of the possible causes of the red shift. And you can also order that on our website, drdano.com. If you don't want to download the video, you can get it on DVD, VHS, audio, CD, all kinds of ways. Okay, folks, after the break, hang in there. Kirsty, Tom, we're coming back for the final segment. We'll try to get you in here. Thanks a lot, folks.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour final segment. If you want to call in and be on the program, you can call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466. And let's see, several folks have called in to ask about the problems with the county, et cetera, et cetera. There's somebody has been gathering a bunch of information on that, going to put up a website about that. So coming soon, folks, hang in there. I guess this guy's asked for all my stuff, and so we'll get a website, refer people to his website, I guess, about that. Get a note on our website, who to contact. I want to go preach and win souls. I don't want to fight everybody, but, you know, they keep picking on me, so please tell what's going on. Here we go. With Mario's question, I was just thinking, I didn't answer that as thoroughly as I should have or could have. He asked about a tadpole changing to a frog. We kind of got off track there a little bit. Tadpoles turn to a frog because they follow a very precise code. DNA. It's a code telling them how to turn to a frog. If a pile of metal comes in one end of a factory and a car comes out the other end, what does that prove? That it's evolving? No. They're following a pattern. And the tadpole is able to turn to a frog precisely because it is following a DNA code, a very amazing DNA code. Caterpillar turning to a butterfly, same thing, you know. Kirsten, okay, sorry, United Kingdom. This may sound a little strange, but do you think that our atmosphere will disappear or shrink considerably during the tribulation period? I'd also like to thank you for your ministry. Creation science is so essential because these days, more than ever, my dad is not a Christian yet, but I have been able to discuss creation with him. He's listened to Dr. Hovind in the past, and it really makes me think. I pray for your ministry daily. May God bless you and strengthen you, Kirsten. Atmosphere shrink. Kirsty, I don't know that I would have an opinion on that one. Will the atmosphere shrink or expand? I guess I suspect because of quite a bit of scientific evidence, and certainly because of what the scripture teaches, on video number 2 I cover, I suspect the Earth had a denser atmosphere, maybe double the pressure we have today. Maybe all the air that's now stretched out over 100 miles would have been, you know, down in 10 or 15 miles. By the way, is Eric still in here? No? Okay. Because sometimes people they'll say, well, you know, if it rained enough in the flood, you know, to cause the worldwide flood, rain 40 days, it would create a lot of heat. That's true. Okay, latent heat of condensation is called. I'm very familiar with that. But if the atmosphere were expanding at the same time, because of the canopy collapsing, now it removes all the heat. So you have, you know, God in charge, a very complex mechanism I don't see a problem with. Okay, Tom Gagnon writes in. Genesis 10:25 says about Peleg, I thought this would be continental drift. The map looks like it could have happened. Why don't you think so, Tom? Well, Tom, in the days of Peleg, it says the earth was divided. Genesis 10:25, and it says his brother's name was Doctan. I believe, I cover this on video number 6, there are 4 different theories of what this means about the days of Peleg. One theory says the continents moved. Okay, I have a real hard time believing that, because if you move a continent just a couple of feet, it's going to kill everybody because of the shaking, the enormous energy required, the earth, basically a massive earthquake. Usually an earthquake, you get a small little area that moves a few inches or a few feet, and it does unbelievable damage. So I think that the idea that the continents moved is ludicrous, okay? The idea that the earth was divided by languages is probably more logical, or that the earth was divided by drawn lines on the ground saying, hey, it's getting kind of crowded here, let's draw a few lines, this is my property and that's yours, you know? That's actually divided up. It was divided by the melting ice caps and the rising water, which would make what used to be mountains and valleys turn into islands or continents or continents like Australia. And I covered that in video 6. Erica writes in, Erica Exline, E-X-L-I-N-E. Now, there's an interesting name, from Ohio at EDU. Ohio State at EDU, or maybe it's Ohio University. I debated it both of those places, Ohio University and Ohio State. That's what I took on Frank Zindler. John, we didn't get that on video, I don't think, but boy, that was a good one. Frank, if you're listening, any time, friend, I'll be glad to straighten you out and show you that your atheist club is based on lunacy that says there's no creator. And I'm here to help. I'm not here to hurt you. I can help you realize that there is a creator. Okay. Erica writes in, hi, my name's Eric. I'm a sophomore at Ohio University. Yep, that's the one down in eastern Ohio, I believe. I forget the name of the town. I'll look at the map and find that out. But I did a debate there against two professors, I believe. Athens, that was it. Athens, Ohio. That was back in, I don't remember the year. I have pins in the map that are color-coded, but that one, the yellow pin means I forgot to check out what year it was. I don't want to go back to 12 calendars and find out, but I'm going to guess it was about 6 or 7 years ago. Okay, when you speak 800 or 900 times a year, you lose a little track once in a while. You'll get old and senile, Erica, someday, and we'll laugh at you. Okay, here we go. She says, I'm a sophomore at Ohio University, very liberal school, if you don't already know. Oh, Erica, I do know. I was there. She says, I grew up in church, and my family and I actually went to a debate you had here a couple years ago. Okay. I'm basically educated in the teachings of the Bible, though not enough by any means. My question is kind of silly, though. So if I don't get a reply for some time, I'll be completely understand. I was thinking about getting a tattoo. In your opinion, is there anything wrong or risky with this? There you go, Jonathan. She wants to get a tattoo. I know that body is supposed to be a temple and everything, but people have their ears pierced and no one thinks twice about it. Thanks for your time, Erica. Erica, I don't think tattoos are evil necessarily as opposed to just maybe dumb, okay? They're pretty permanent. You're kind of stuck with them the rest of your life, and if you change your mind, like the one guy had a huge black streak down his arm, and the very, very bottom one says, you know, Sally. He had had, you know, tattoos on his arm for some girlfriend, and then he breaks up with her, so he has to black it out, put the next one on there, and then black it.
Yeah, I know a guy who has that. Oh, my goodness, it's so dumb.
So, I think Scripture teaches don't make any marks upon you, and that's an Old Testament law for the Jews, I understand, but I think it's good advice. So we've got several people on staff here with tattoos. They're welcome to come work here. We love them, and they do a good job, so I'm not against it. I think it's just not very smart. Any comments there, John?
I do have. I have 5. I have Lord's Servant on my chest. I have Jesus' hands on my shoulders. All of mine have a biblical significance to me. But I don't recommend, I don't go and tell anybody to get tattoos. And if they're thinking about it, pray about it a long time.
Yeah, it's
don't
pretty permanent.
Don't say, oh, I want to get one and then go get one. Because you would definitely regret it if it's not something you've prayed about for a long time.
Yeah. Okay, Brandon writes in. Brandon, now this is a strange last name. Benaventi. Got to be Italian here. Benaventi. He says, Dr. Oven, I'm currently taking a geology class at a local state college. In this class, I came upon an interesting idea. If continental drift, by means of seafloor spreading and divergent plates, was in fact the process by which the Earth's surface came to have its current face, then wouldn't there be large ridges of basaltic composition all along the edges of the continents that had supposedly been attached? Good point, Brandon. Think about that. I was wondering if, in fact, there was any evidence such as that. My geology professor, who apparently hasn't delved too deeply into his beliefs, has no idea whether or not there was any basaltic ridge. I myself am a literal 6-day creationist and have found God's work through you to be amazing, an amazing tool and asset in my studies and discussions with various campus professors. Thank you so much for giving your time to the Lord and pressing on in the good fight. I know you're busy and appreciate that. Anyone at CSC has any information, please let me know. Thank you, Brandon. Brandon, you might want to look at Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. I think that is just amazing and answers a whole lot of questions. There are several theories among creationists out there, several good theories. What's the one by the plates, the subduction theory that the plates are being pulled under? The creationist Baumgartner has that's got some merit to it, I think. Walt Brown's theory on creationscience.com, where he talks about a continental drift from the hydroplate theory. Probably the truth is somewhere a mixture of all of the different theories. So I tried to mix them together as best I know how in the Hovind theory, but I don't know if that's right or not.
It was very interesting, Baumgartner. I was actually reading about his whole theory there, and that he had presented it to a form of scientists, and they had started saying, no, you're wrong here, this number should be this number. And so he took all of their numbers, didn't change it on one bit, and then ran the equations again, and it still showed that it was impossible to have, such and such happen in this amount of time, even with what they said.
So, in the billions of years to have continents move, yeah.
So it was just hilarious.
Yeah, John Baumgartner, he's an adjunct professor at the ICR.org. You can contact them. Or Walt Brown is creationscience.org, I think. No, .com. Creationscience.com. Anyway, so check out, or you can watch on my website, Dr. Dino, the Hydroplate Theory on Seminar Part 6, if you download that. Does it also go straight to Walt Brown's, Jonathan, when they watch Part 6 on ours? Does it show his hydroplate theory, the video clip, like 4 minutes?
If it's in the seminar.
It's in the seminar, so it should show it. Okay, good. Here we go. David Royce writes in, Dear Sir, what are your thoughts regarding the fall of Lucifer as a contributing factor to the disappearance of dinosaurs? Could there have been a pre-creation that was destroyed or partially destroyed when Lucifer was cast out of heaven? Thank you for your response, David. David, no, I would disagree. That's been taught for some time, but I think there's a much more logical theory that says dinosaurs always lived with man. They were killed by man. Man called them dragons through history. There could be a few still alive. There have been a lot of sightings like Loch Ness Monster, Lake Champlain Monster, and I cover that in Video 3. As far as the fall of Lucifer, that could not have taken place before the creation. There cannot be a pre-creation because of 20 or 30 verses that would violate. Exodus 20:11 in the Ten Commandments says God made everything in heaven and earth in 6 days. And we cover all that called the gap theory or the day age theory on videotape number 2 in our book, Jonathan, the gap theory. You're holding it in your hand, little 25-page book or something, giving the skinny version, 19 pages, okay, about the problems with the gap theory. It has very serious theological and scientific problems. So no, I disagree. Okay, Andre Smith writes in, I like your ministry. I wanted to get your opinion on Calvinism. So many people seem to be going into Calvinism, wanted to know if it's dangerous. Should I stay away from it? Yes, Andre, I think it's a very dangerous doctrine, at least some of it. There's five-point Calvinist, the tulip, T-U-L-I-P. I think if you believe the middle three, U-L-I, then you lie. I believe man is totally depraved. That's not the question. But I don't believe in a limited atonement or the other things. I don't have time to cover that on the program here. There are other people who cover that type of thing. But no, I believe Calvinism is a dangerous doctrine. I don't think people necessarily are going to hell because they believe that, but I think it certainly destroys their understanding of a lot of scriptures and their desire to be a soul winner. Because after all, if God's going to get them saved, he's going to get them saved. So, no, I would have to disagree strongly. There's a book that we sell here called Why I'm Not a Calvinist. It's Ruckman's book. It's rude, crude, crass, and mean, but it's pretty smart. If they can overlook all the other stuff that he says, I think they'd enjoy the teaching of Why I'm Not a Calvinist. It's $2 for the book. It's maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 pages. Here we go. Thaddeus writes in, I've heard a lot about the rapture being very, very soon. What do you think will happen? When will it happen? Will it be soon? What clues are there to it being soon? Oh, Thaddeus, that gets into the major theological question. I'm looking for the Lord to come any minute. However, there are five or six different positions on this. I'm pre-trib rapture in my theology, probably only because that's what I've been taught all my life. I don't think I could defend it real strongly from Scripture. What were you taught, Jonathan?
I am pre-wrath. I'm not a biblical scholar or anything, but to my understanding, around 3.5 years is when the abomination of desecration occurs, and that's when God's wrath is poured out. And I don't think that we're going to experience God's wrath. I don't think that's, we're not here for God's wrath. I'm probably just a pan-millennialist. It'll all pan out.
It'll all pan out. Let God take care of it.
You know, I trust God to take care of me, and he has.
We
so
have
far.
A variety on staff here of different denominations and people who believe different things, you know.
I'm in favor of it, though.
I'm in favor of getting out of here. Yes, come on. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Okay, John Promnitz writes in, how do I respond to someone that asks why people that don't hear the gospel message are still punished for all eternity? How can 50 years of sin equal a punishment of torture that lasts forever? Oh, John, one sin against an almighty, all-wise, holy God is enough to warrant eternal punishment. Just one sin. You don't need 50 years of sin. You've offended the righteous. Just like one false move where somebody, you know, murders one person. You know, they go mad and 30 seconds they murder their neighbor and they get cast in jail for, you know, life. It's fair, it's just for the God of the universe who's perfect and holy to, met out whatever punishment he wants. Okay, folks, we are done. Tune in again tomorrow. We should be live on the air. Same time, same channel. Tell your friends about the program and check out drdino.com. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.